Greetings, we have returned post-show 125, I believe. That's nuts that we've done this many of these. Man, it brings me joy to say that we had a great episode with a ton in it. Doing these bi-weekly, like, it really, like, these shows are bloated with content. I did it. I said the C word. But yeah, there's a lot in this episode, so I hope you enjoy it. This week we talked about the House of Dragons season 2 premiere and subsequent episode. Demon Slayer, we are racing towards the finish line. Season 4 episodes 6 and 7. Next episode we're going to be talking about the finale and what comes next, which is exciting. Kaiju number 8 is also nearing the end of its season 1 run. Today we talk about episodes 10 and 11. Speaking of the end, My Hero Academia, the show that never ends. Season 7, episodes 5 and 6, we discuss, and The Boys season 4. It's a bit of a more broad general conversation about, like, what's going on with The Boys in general, but we will cover, like, more specific episodes probably in the next couple of weeks, so look forward to that. We also get into some news, but I will keep you guessing on that one. It's kind of interspersed throughout the episode, so enjoy. Grant.
Hello, David.
How you doing there, you wee scallywag?
Oh, a little tired. The heat, at least a bit of the heat broke, but holy cow, I'm a tired boy tonight.
You know what, I'll say one thing about that heat there, Grant. It's not the heat that gets you. It's the humidity, let me tell you.
Word.
I have a shirt that says that.
Legit tired of going down in the basement emptying the dehumidifier. twice a day now. It sucks.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
That's nuts.
Yeah, it's frustrating because there is a hose in it. I will say, like, when we bought the house, it was just left there.
Oh, okay. So and it's an inherited...
It was an inherited thing. It has the pipe coming out of it and everything. But the manual... Like, you know how, like, when you get instructions for, like, a new product or whatever, and, like, you know, there's, like, the English page, there's the, like, the French page, sometimes Spanish, and then usually, like, whether, you know, sometimes, you know, like, Asian of some sort. And I found tucked away, and so it's just the, like, the Chinese, and I used Google Translate and, like, tried to, like, make a sense of it, and I could not get, like, the settings to work for, like, the hose to actually work, and so yeah, it's anyways, like, I gotta go down and empty it. It's, you know, it's a first world problem here.
It's another peculiar middle age gripe.
Yeah,
but we, like, that's kind of on brand for us. I will say, every time I use a dehumidifier or even, like, an air purifier or anything in that, like, vein, I'm always like, man, it's kind of crazy that this stuff is in the air. You know, I feel like a 12-year-old in a science class. I'm like, wait a minute. You're telling me that there was moisture in the air?
You're saying I'm not sleeping good because all the pet dandruff in the air right now?
Yeah, it's weird, right?
Yeah. Plus my own?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, I feel like... I feel like we need to start on House of the Dragon.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, riding high.
I am so... You know, it's kind of like... It's very similar to how I felt when season 1 came on the air.
Sure.
You know, at that time, there was a lot of uncertainty. Like, will it be good? I think, like, some people had sour grapes on the ending of Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Myself included. But then, like, they open up on the same theme song.
Yeah.
They, you know all the names in the family tree. It just so happens to be in a different time. It's complete story, yada yada yada, right? So it kind of felt like coming home again, and
100%, yeah,
they have had a very strong first two episodes, which is what we're going to cover, and we will get into spoiler territory on those first two episodes of season 2. But yeah, what did you think of the premiere and the first and second episode? And
I think they're great. It's nice to have, you know, I can't remember what the last live action show we were talking about, but, you know, like the appointment viewing, I think that is like my favorite scenario, to watch anything, whether it's, you know, like or TV obviously, but it isn't, you know, Sunday's pretty stacked right now. It's like, so, you know, we time it out for Demon Slayer. And it's only going to be for one more week, but Demon Slayer, you know, then right into House of the Dragon. And it's just exciting. You know, you sit there, like, we've been watching, you know, we've been, like, jumping in, like, 10 minutes before, watching all the HBO trailers.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Leading up for the documentary. Like, oh, there's all these documentaries that Leanne and I are like, wow, we want to watch those. Like, you know, it's not often, and I think I can speak for you too, like, just the experience of, like, sitting down and, like, watching something on the actual TV, not necessarily through an app or whatever, or a streaming service, but, I don't know, it's been nice, and, like, you know, the Alt-Shift-X video came out, and I was like, boom, that's back in my life, you know, love the rundowns and kind it's of funny. The analysis of that.
Dude, I saw incredible. He dropped season 2 episode 1 explained, and it was like, he dropped it the day episode 2 was coming out, and it was 43 minutes. I was man. Oh, I forgot about this fucking guy.
He usually does that. Like, there's always the delay for, like, the first episode, and then I think all, the previous weeks always airs, like, you know, a couple hours before. But, So, watching that, I don't know. It's just, I'm just kind of, you know, living it up right now. Like, you know, there's a lot of really, really good shit going on right now. And, damn, like, heavy. Like, that ending in that first episode, like, squeamish, to say the least.
This is like, you know, I wrote this down mid episode 2 as a joke, but I don't think I realized like how on the nose it was, but I was like, is this the season of assassination attempts? Because at first I was like kind of having a laugh about it. That was genuinely really fucked up, the twin assassination at the end of episode 1, and then the undercover Sir Eric Kingsguard one in episode 2. I was just like, oh, there's no way. But I gotta say, on that note, I was like positive that plot point of Sir Eric going undercover, you know, disguised as his twin. I was like, you know, just because if you're used to Game of Thrones, especially for the majority of the show early on, like, I was like, that's gonna be a season long plot.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to see him go undercover. We're going to see him make it there. Maybe towards the end of the season, he might get an opportunity. I was always fairly confident he was going to fail in his attempt. I was like, I don't think it's going to come down to that.
Sure.
But, like, we got all of that in a single episode. It worked really well, but it was not what I was expecting.
I will say, like, it's not a gripe. Like I said, I don't think, like, it never stuck out as, like, oh, there's something glaringly wrong here. But I did find the second episode to be a little floaty. You know, like, it felt like, I don't know, like, maybe it was literally just the spaces there. And everything was just, I find more so than Game of Thrones, there's a lot more space in the scene. Like, the rooms feel to be bigger, like, more empty.
Sure.
You know, like, they're not as, I don't know if it's, like, you know, like, COVID productions, we're kind of past that, but, like, I'm wondering if that's kind of, like, you know, drifting. Because there's that scene where they go into, I think when you see Aemond, you know, he's in, like, the, you know, the pleasure house or whatever, and, like, that's crowded. I was like, oh, that feels very nostalgic to, like, Game of Thrones, and, like, you know, everything else is, like, very empty rooms and, like, one or two people.
I see what you mean.
And it just, like, it felt maybe a little empty. Mm-hmm. And then, especially, like, I think, you know, the, like, the Otto scene with, when Otto, yeah, when he's, like, chewing out Aegon and fucking, you know, Sarah Kristen fuckface there. And,
Christian Cole,
oh my god.
We'll come back to him.
Yeah, we will come back to him. But, I don't know, it just, like, I find them just a lot more scenes this episode that are just, like, very open, where you feel like it would be a little more constricted to kind of really ride the, kind of the tension of the scene. And even, like the, you know, the battle between the twins there, like, you know, it felt, that was, like, borderline, like, Scooby-Doo antics, like, which was, like, kind of funny, and it was, I did find it a little distracting, you know, but it was a good scene, you know, it's, yeah, I don't know, it's,
I thought it was a great
Final Fantasy.
Yeah, the twin fight scene, like, I thought it was a great, the scene itself was good, the fight was good, it was, like, visceral and graphic, and, oh, Christ, and the suicide at the end.
Yeah.
That shit was heartbreaking. That, like, that genuinely bummed me out.
It was something I knew no matter what. Like, the second the fight kicked off, I was like, they're both dying here. No one, like, neither of them are living in this room.
It bummed me out, though. But I will say, like, you're right. Like, at first, like, I was in the scene, but the whole time I was thinking, like, I see what they're doing. This is, like, kind of a classic gag. Like, which one is it? Which one do you actually want to win? You're meant to lose track, and then you're meant to be, like, confused by the ambiguity of it all. But
I do say, credit where credit's due. They did, like, they, again, there was not even, like, a hint of, you know, comedic tone. Which, you know, obviously. But I think they did some really smart things where they put Rhaenyra in corners and, like, being pushed away around something where she loses line of sight.
Yeah.
And so they do a really good job of, like, making the situation, like, real, where it gets to a point of, like, who is it? You know, she can genuinely say, like, I don't know, you know, like, at that point, right?
And you're almost seeing it through her perspective. Like, the audience loses track the way she loses track. Because we're also, the audience is engaged in, like, kind of worried about her, right? It's like, shit, don't let that one get close. Or is it that one?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man, that was a really well-crafted scene. Though I guess the point was, I was just shocked it happened so fast.
Yeah.
Like that we
Sorry, got did it. You read Fire and Blood?
You know, man, I have to be honest. I sincerely don't remember. Like, I know this is and I'm not like taking a shot at it. I'm positive. You know, I'm in the process of like trying to move right now.
Yeah.
But I'm positive I own that book.
Yeah.
And I'm positive it's in a pile with the rest of the Game of Thrones books that I read.
Mm.
And I sincerely cannot remember because it blends so much with the rest of it. You know, it's all Targaryen this, Lannister that, and like. Parts of it I'm like, I swear I remember this. Yeah. Or maybe what I remember is that they talk about the Dance with Dragons and they talk about this fight a lot within the Game of Thrones books. Like they talk about how it tore apart this great house, you know, and how it was the only war that had dragon versus dragon.
Mm.
And like maybe they talk about how it ended, but if they do or if I actually read it, I don't remember. So there's that. I just don't know. I was talking with Sam about this actually. I was like, you know, we were talking about, you know, how so much of this show is built around personalities and like fan favorites and and all that. And you know, early Game of Thrones, it was like you just wanted to see Ned survive, and then you didn't realize how upset you would be when he didn't. And then you wanted to see like Sansa and Arya. You know what I mean? Like. You know, Robb Stark became a fan favorite, then Jon Snow and Oberyn, then he died. You know what I mean? Like, these personalities are so important. I was saying, like, who's your favorite on-screen character right now that you, like, just need to see every scene in? And we had to think about it for a little while. But I came up with my definitive answer. But before I give you mine, I'm curious. Did a character come to mind for you?
I do. You know what? Like he is such a bastard. But Otto always has stuck out to me.
That was Sam's.
Yeah. Oh, really?
His performance is really good.
Incredible. Like, I think like the thing, like, you know, like he is, it's interesting. Cause like it is kind of like, I, you know, I'm maybe more leaning towards the blacks versus the greens, but like, or obviously I am, I think, but the interesting thing about him is to see like his just desserts kind of come up, you know, like he's been doing this 20-year saga of manipulation, and it is kind of just blowing up in his face at like every major flashpoint. And you know, but he, like, he's like a fucking, like a rat, you know, like he just keeps kind of herring on. But his speech this episode especially, just like, you know, like, you know, like the insanity of it, and just like kind of, you know, just the deafness of the situation. You just see him, you know, him like running or kind of talking down and whatnot. But I really do like Rhaenyra.
Yeah, he was frustrated, like you know it's not shocking. It is kind of like a classic, like, old guy as hand, young petulant person as king. I will say the guy playing Aegon, and just Aegon the character,
sure,
is like more third dimensional. What am I trying to say? He's more
three dimensional character.
Yeah, than I thought he was gonna be kind of one note. But
from what I have seen online, and like the, you know, like the spoiler free forum and all that, like I think one of the things that has come across is like the show is doing a bit of, at least a little more nuanced. Maybe that's the word you're looking for. He's a little more nuanced than he was in the books.
Yes. I don't know about the book. But I mean, guess more than I expected, yeah.
Yeah.
My pick was Alicent, by the way. I just find the actor playing her does a really good job.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I think they're all great. Like, Matt Smith. It's so crazy because, you know, a long time Doctor Who fan. And it was the first time I ever, you know, saw him. And, you know, like, kind of like one of the key characteristics of his doctor was there was this rage and like was very much trying to not let it out.
Interesting.
And he, like, you know, he would turn it on every now and then, and like, but you know, you could still see like it was like a warm intellectual person, you know, that like the situation kind of, the frustration always sometimes got the better of him. Whereas you see Daemon and you can just see like all like, you know, like middle child syndrome or whatever you want to call it. And like, just the darkness that he can really portray in this is kind of like crazy to see.
That, borderline end of marriage fight he had with Rhaenyra, that argument was so real.
Yeah.
And so fantastically done. And like I was saying to Sam, I was like, fuck, they can't afford to split into pieces now. Like they got a war to fight.
I think he's just out. If in my, I guess, you know, theory time, theory crafting time, I do think, because, you know, it's funny, I saw a post online yesterday of how many times can a man say he's going to support you, and it was like three different instances where he was, you know, kind of giving his allegiance to Rhaenyra, mm-hmm. even though like he is kind of like a spoiled brat, and he pouts, and he has like a, you know, like a brother, you know, a brother complex, you know, with Viserys, and like literally anytime Viserys is brought up, he immediately goes from like 0 to 100, flies off the handle. I don't know. I think he's going to fly off and like do what he wants to do and, you know, like for their cause and all that, and, you know, maybe make his apology in his own way or whatever. But, I don't know.
Curious to see where that goes. I have one nitpick I wrote down.
Hit me.
There's it might be new to season two. I don't remember if she was in season one, but there's a new character called Miseria.
She was in the first season. That was Daemon's lover.
Okay. I don't know if she changed her accent or what, but once you see this, I don't know if you'll be able to get it out of her out of your head.
Okay.
Dude, she's doing Shay from Game of Thrones. And like maybe like the two actors actually just have the same accent.
Well, they talk about how she's from Pentos in the first season.
Which is, I think, where Shay was from Pentos, or she was at least exotic or foreign or something.
Yeah.
But it's so hard to unhear once you hear it. You're like, ah, oh, fuck. Like it's almost an impression. Like, her intonation is the same.
It does. You know, and again, like, I think you're right. It's more of a nitpick. But I do find there is a lot of, like, the archetype characters that they are straight up borrowing from Game of Thrones. And again, like, that's literature, right? Like, it's hard not to do that.
Otto Hightower is Tywin Lannister.
You know, like, Laerys is, like, Littlefinger.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, you know, they basically, like, made Ned 2.0 in Kraegan in, like, in the premiere, which was cool. It's cool to be back in the North. I thought that was a really cool scene, too. They kind of tee up the whole, like, you know, like, the dragons wouldn't go over the wall when, Viserys's, like, grandfather came over. But, I don't know.
And then they happily go over the wall in Game of Thrones with no explanation whatsoever.
Yeah, kind of.
But that's also, like, that hadn't been written in the book. I was surprised that they even acknowledged that, because that was like a thing in the book, is that it was written like, oh, like, no, they couldn't cross. Well, and then they just crossed.
It was interesting because in the Alt Shift X video, he was talking, because like I think George Martin's like more heavily involved in writing in this, or is directly involved in writing in this, and so far apparently there's been like a good handful of like new lore drops that like wasn't in Fire and Blood, wasn't necessarily like mentioned in Game of Thrones. So it's like they're kind of rebuilding everything a little bit, like, you know, kind of, you know, I don't know, kind of like, you know, readjusting. But I don't know, it's, gosh, I love it. Did you see there's a bit of a online fervor right now? There seems to be a wave and some hinting that Wins a Winner is coming down the pipe.
I mean, like, hasn't that been the case for a decade? Is it actually, though?
I was on the couple of the subreddits today, and or yesterday, sorry. And there's like legit like some tee ups of like hinting at like there might be a reveal at some point. Like, you know, like there was one where like there's like a blog clear and you made some cheeky references to Wins separately and then a reference to Winter. And something about how stopping all marketing on current projects.
Interesting.
And there's like, again, and then he was also announced for something called WonderCon, which is like traditionally like where a lot of I guess fantasy authors will announce like their next project, that kind of thing. Again, like, it's all, you know, conjecture and all and whatnot, but and hearsay, but there seems to be a bit of a movement online being like, oh, it might be happening.
So, interesting. Okay. Yeah. So, you know, you mentioned we can wrap up after this and move on to Demon Slayer, but I was really curious, and it sounds like you haven't. Have you heard George R. R. Martin's recent take slamming people who make adaptations?
No.
And it's like very clear who he's talking about, but he wrote this on his blog within the last few weeks.
Great blog.
Here's the quote for you. I'm reading from a Variety article, and they just say, Martin previously spoke out about adaptations in 2022. with fellow author Neil Gaiman, in which he lamented over the majority of writers in Hollywood thinking they do not need to be faithful to written works they're adapting for film or television. Quote, "Very little has changed since then," Martin now writes on his blog. "If anything, things have gotten worse. Everywhere you look, there are more screenwriters and producers eager to take stories and make them their own. It does not seem to matter whether the source material is written by Stanley, Charles Dickens, Ian Fleming, Roald Dahl, Ursula K. Le Guin, J.R.R. Tolkien, Mark Twain, Raymond Chandler, Jane Austen, or, well, anyone. No matter how major a writer it is, no matter how great the book, there always seems to be someone on hand who thinks he can do better, eager to take the story and, quote, improve on it." Martin added, "The book is the book. The film is the film," they will tell you, as if they were saying something profound. Then they make the story their own. They make it better, though. They never make it better, though. 999 times out of 1,000, they make it worse.
He must be pointing at The Witcher.
I think he's pointing at D&D, because he got fucking crucified for the ending of that show. D&D, Dan and David from Game of Thrones. He took... I mean...
Oh, sorry, I thought he was referencing something that happened in 2022.
Oh, no, he was referencing comments he made in 2022 about adaptations.
Got you.
And then he basically just doubled down, but he said something very specific about, like, you know, the book is the book, the film is the film, etc. Wild. But yeah, he took, I mean, you know, everybody took, like, a lot of L's with Game of Thrones. And I think, you know, the statute's probably almost up on that.
Yeah, a little bit of revisionist going back.
Yeah, but anyway, I thought that was interesting. And yeah, like, Fire and Blood is a complete work, at least, right? Yeah. They won't have that problem. But yeah, I don't actually know how involved he is.
The first still came out for is it Duncan Egg or...
Yes, I didn't know they were doing that. I read that, too.
Yeah. So I saw the photo and I was like, oh, there you go. More Game of Thrones.
We're in the universe now, so we'll see what they do with it.
You know what? I really don't mind because...
No, me neither.
I think, like, big picture, I think it has an easier time than, like, other expanded universes because at the end of the day, it's a show about politics, right? Yeah. Like, politicking. And, you know, again, there's violence and there's, you know, magic and there's, you know, this and that. But it's more like a history... you know, kind of property than it is like a, you know, like a high fantasy. So I feel like it's a little easier for people to just be like, oh, another one of these, right on. Like, you know, who, I don't know, it's like kind of like not like junk TV because it's not, it's very well made and there's a lot of effort that goes into it, but it does have this degree of like, yeah, chuck that motherfucker's out.
No, yeah, it's, man, like, it's, yeah, it's crazy because I've been, I don't know, I think just because House of the Dragon is back on the air, my YouTube algorithm, and to be fair, I'm encouraging it by clicking on all this shit, but I just keep getting Game of Thrones highlights of all these crazy moments, you know, biggest moments in Game of Thrones or whatever, like late seasons even. And it's crazy because, like, I think so many people, all they remember is, like, how they weren't happy with the story, but it's so easy to forget how beautiful and well-made these shows are.
Yeah.
Like, HBO's put so much money into this universe, it's not shocking to me whatsoever that you know, they're squeezing as much as they can out of it and doing more side stories and building on the universe that they've already invested so much in.
God. Okay. I will say, I think when when the first season ended, I immediately jumped in and I read the first Game of Thrones book.
Yeah.
And I can feel myself like, okay, like, I'll probably read number two after this season ends. Yeah. Like, I'll jump back in.
The pull is real.
Yeah.
All right, we got to talk Demon Slayer. We've had a big double week here. This was episode what, 6 and 7?
6 and 7.
And then 7 was a little bit longer than 6, but not much.
I have to stop falling for the episode length announcements. I always forget the time they announce is including commercials in Japan.
Yeah.
Like 40 minutes and it's like, no, it's 31.
Yeah. You know? And so it is technically extended. Yes. But it's just not nowhere near as what you think it might be. But like, okay, so let's because I don't like, there's some meat to these episodes, but I feel like the big things are what happened towards the tail end of episode 7.
Sure.
But it's what? It's Tanjiro training with the Stone Hashira.
Yeah, we get some crazy backstory. Not the backstory I ever expected. Out of the Stone Hashira.
Did that hit you really hard? I saw a lot of people like, oh my god, I was crying. I was like, really?
No, it didn't. But like, it definitely, it felt the most concrete backstory we've had in quite some time for any character.
It is a good one. I'll give you that. Yeah. I will say, not to be too half glass empty, it just was like every single one of them having a tragic backstory is both like predictable and gets a little played out, like the more times you do it. But at the same time, it's also like, what do you want? These are like the best of the best swordsmen. Like, of course, they're all going to have something deep driving them.
Yeah.
So I'm a bit of two minds on that. But I agree that his was good. And I think the voice actor was really good, too.
He was very good. I think the thing I liked about it most, and this is going to maybe sound weird, but I thought it was a good choice. A good choice to, like, him becoming blind was not a part of the tragedy. Like, that was just who he was at the time of the tragedy. I thought that was, like, you know, the detail that easily could have all been, like, you know, one instance kind of brought together to, you know, make him who he was.
Good point.
I did like that and showing, you know, defined his strength. You know, like, even though there was all this tragedy and all these bad things, like, he really kind of discovered what was within him. There was a lot of, you know, there was negativity, but there was a lot of positivity to kind of the situation in a weird way.
It was that whole, like, never make a pacifist close their fist.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
Yeah.
That was a pretty metal moment. Shot. Him snapping, just beating the brains in till dawn.
Well, it was crazy, too, because, like, you know, we've had moments over the years, and you and I have talked about them, you know, in specifically of, like, you kind of get a reminder every now and then, like, the Demon Slayer does not, sometimes will just, like, not, again, no pun intended, like, hold its punches, and it gets, like, super gory and very explicit, and they kind of, they went for it, I really dug it. It was,
beautiful.
Yeah,
they did confirm one of our theories from our last episode. Upper Four has been replaced by the Banjo Demon.
Yep.
And the Banjo Demon's name is Nakime.
Mm.
And it seems clear that her, like, her blood demon art or whatever is, like, you know, these many eyes that she has used to infiltrate the Demon Slayer headquarters.
Which the Hashir have now, like, caught on to.
Which are now aware of.
Yeah, which, you know, good setup for the next episode.
And Sam was asking me yesterday, not unironically, who is that? What's his name again about the Wind Hashira? And I, like, didn't miss a beat and was like, it's the hardest to pronounce one.
I think it's
Sanemi Shinezaguwa, but, like, you know, I'm saying that pretty fucked up. He's become very fun. I have a feeling he's gonna be very involved.
Yeah,
because he's had a lot of screen time. I mean,
yep. They, you know, and I, because I think you and I were worried a couple weeks ago of, like, how are we really gonna get his? Oh, there's a cat in here somewhere. How are they gonna set, like, tee up his backstory with Genya, and, like, it kind of felt like there's no way they're gonna be able to fit it in.
Yeah.
And they did breadcrumb us a couple times.
Yeah.
Last episode and then this episode too. Like, you know, with it, and like the random times where they just kinda jut in comedy, I think it's, like, so weird with, like, you know, even Giyu's like, oh, like, you know, now I'm gonna keep, like, a red bean mochi in my pocket anytime I run into him. You know?
Was that, like, funny for you, or was it, like, did it, like, take you out of it in a negative way?
It did
way?
Take me out of it a little bit, but it's like that is the show. It's just I feel like with the past few seasons we haven't had a ton of that.
Yeah.
You know, and it feels like they're kind of getting their comedy chops a little more out of the way this season.
Yeah. I found it funny.
No. It is funny. But it just I feel like when it comes with Giyu, like, there's no, not that you want every character to just be like, I know how that character works, but it just feels like, I feel like I've never really known him, and the more I know about him, it's like, oh, I had no idea who this guy was.
Yeah. You know, I think you can make an argument there about, like, are they intentionally, like, keeping him mysterious, or is it, like, have they not really known what to do with him? Like, he has to, we talked about this before, he has to have some very big moments coming up for his character to, like, kind of pay off.
Yeah, I would think so. The fight between him and the Wind Hashira, the training, I thought was really good.
Yeah, that was,
like,
cool.
Leading up to the comedy. Yeah, I don't know. I'm excited for the finale. Well, you saw the, well, I think actually we were talking about it in the group chat this week there, but
Were you going to talk about the post credits?
No, I was going to talk about the leaks on the
Okay, wait. But so before we do that, let's just put a little bow on these two episodes. Did you catch, because Grant, I have confidence and I have verified it via the powers of the internet.
Okay.
There's a deep cut in episode 7 in the Stone Hashira's origin story. Did you catch it?
It was brought to my attention, but I still don't know who they are in the past.
Okay, so for the listener, the Stone Hashira Giyome, I can't remember his name.
Yeah.
In his backstory, he explains that one of the kids was threatened or found by a demon, and he exchanged his life for bringing the demon to the temple, where it killed all these other kids. Right?
Oh, it would get rid of the incense and all that. That was
yeah, incense. And he got rid of the incense, which let the demon in. So he very directly had a hand in all these kids dying. The person who did this is wearing this blue necklace, almost collar-like thing.
Yeah.
It is, without a doubt, the same character in season one, I think episode 17, who yells at Zenitsu in one of Zenitsu's flashbacks. And he throws a peach at Zenitsu, and he's only shown from the neck down, but he's wearing the same collar necklace. The clothes are the same. The voice actor, I believe, is the same. And he's yelling at Zenitsu, saying, because Zenitsu is like referring to their teacher, who was a Hashira, as Gramps. And this guy is like, don't refer to him that way. You're a waste. You suck. Yada, yada, yada. And he's berating Zenitsu. Yeah, okay. And so there's clearly, I don't know if there is a blood relation or familial, or if they both just trained under this old Hashira, or what the deal is. But that guy is the same character who in this roundabout way winds up getting all these kids killed.
Damn.
And it makes me wonder if the timing is too coincidental that Zenitsu got really bad news via a letter.
Yeah.
My assumption at the time before I made the connection was like, oh, grandpa probably died. Or the guy, who, I don't know if he was actually the grandfather, but the guy who trained him probably died.
It was interesting because like when they kind of show Zenitsu kind of, you know, pondering on the stone, like he's all bloodied up a little bit. Like almost like if he was like in frustration, like banging his head on the stone or something like that. So well, that's the thing too. So Leanna got spoiled so bad 2 weeks ago.
I think I caught a stray today too. What did she get?
Why she said like it's like end game stuff.
That sucks.
And she said fuck this, and she read the manga, like she finished.
Oh really?
And she's like, because like you know, like I you know, if I'm gonna, I'm just gonna read it. So I know. And but yeah, so that was a bummer for her. But
how does she feel? Did she say anything?
No, she didn't want to touch it. She's like, you know. Not, you know, I think she enjoyed it, but she, you know, like, she, you know, she made a point. She goes, you know, because we were talking about it, or when she had finished, I had asked, I was like, you know, does the source material have the merit, or, like, is the point that, like, the story is okay-ish, and then, you know, the, you know, UFO table, like, really kind of makes it, like, what it is, and she goes, no, like, you know, like, clearly, like, she straight up said, like, it looks like shit. Yeah. In the manga, it's not very good, but like,
yeah, I've seen the you know, screencast looks legit bad.
Like the story is there, and like, you know, like characters, you know, I think some, you know, character stuff matters and all that. And she goes, I think she implied like the ending is you know, very, I think what takes place is good. Mm. So you know, execution is, you know, I think it's now UFO Table's like job to execute on that, which I, you know, I think they're gonna knock it out of the park. But
the rumor you were getting to earlier is that they're gonna break up. After this season, it'll be 3 movies, which we've actually reported on those rumors in the past.
Yeah. Some very credible leaks came out, though.
Yeah, I think they were
news,
like...
news sites overseas, yeah.
Yeah, so...
I did get spoiled on one.
Oh, yeah, so...
I clicked on a link, and I was like, oh, what is this? One, two... And then, like, I, you know, I read the first line of, like, what the first movie is going to entail.
Oh, that's what I got.
And I immediately, like, oh, no, like, as long as I don't see number 2 and 3, I'm good for one, but I assume that was going to happen, but...
Yeah, I got all 3.
Oh, you got all 3?
Yeah.
Damn, dude.
It would, for the listener, the context is, like, so the rumors are that the completion of the show or anime is going to be in 3 movies, and, like, each movie will likely be, like, parts of the final battle or final arc, and, like, the leak that I saw was, like... I didn't realize what I was looking at. It was too late. It was like, you know, this movie will focus on this, and this movie will focus on that, so on and so forth. And I saw basically all of it. I will say, it didn't really like crush
me.
Still leaves lots to the amount. I'm not really bummed about it. I didn't consider them at, like, kind of earth shattering spoilers. It's more like, you know, you saw a poster or something. And then, like to close the loop on the extended runtime, because next week the finale will be extended up to an hour, but probably closer to 40 minutes is my guess.
Well, no, they said it's going to be 70 minutes, so it probably is an hour.
Oh, wow. That's interesting.
Or 55 minutes, maybe.
That'd be nice. But the extension for this episode mostly went to like a 3-minute Michael Jackson walk for Muzan.
Unreal.
Showing up at Ubiyashiki's place, which was actually, to be fair, pretty sick.
Yeah, dude, like friggin', that's the thing I was trying to figure out, because there seems to be a little bit of like disagreement online of, because people keep referencing Bleach, because there's like a whole thing about like pressure, like soul pressure, okay. And like the mist floating behind him is like kind of his presence. Versus people like, no, that's like the Wisteria trying to resist him.
Right.
And it's him like walking through it. I thought that was just a fun read. People were like, no, you're wrong. No, I'm right. Like,
no, I funny. Actually saw the same argument.
Yeah.
Like, oh, no. It's just his aura. Or they're doing that for the sake of animation. Or no, it's Wisteria. I think it'd be cool.
I think it's Wisteria.
The coolest answer is Wisteria.
Yeah.
Man, I'm excited though. The next time we'll be here, we'll be a week removed from the finale, and we'll if we're lucky, maybe Ufotable will have made an announcement on what's next to legitimize rumors or not by then. They're come back good. In a week or two.
They've been pretty good the past few.
Usually pretty fast.
Yeah, right off the gun. Jujutsu Kaisen was super quick off the jump too, like the next day, I think.
Yeah, that's true. So,
Demon Slayer, the past two seasons were right off the bat.
Yeah.
Because so, Mugen Train ended and they announced Entertainment District, and then the second Entertainment District ended, they set up Swordsmith Village like a week later.
So we'll see.
Yeah.
Come back in a week or two, we'll talk about the finale and what's to come. What do you want to talk about now?
Kaiju number 8?
The Kaiju
number 8. Oh, so good.
So, I want to say the last few episodes have basically... Oh no, it's not all action. Episode 10 was basically all action, right?
Yeah, well, the second half of 11 was pretty action heavy, and that kind of when they release him from his cage or whatever, and he throws down with the director.
Yeah, okay, so episode 10 is the kaiju are fucking shit up, and it looks dire, and Kafka reveals his identity to save them.
Almost. The fight, like the captain shows up.
Yeah.
Kabina. Or Habina? No,
what's the Mina, yeah.
Mina. So Mina shows up, they take out Kaiju number 10, and then there's just like this nuke in the sky, and that's when he ends up. I thought that was such a... Oh, I love how like the show is at a consistent like 7-8, and then like there's the scenes where they like absolutely crank the animation, and just like him like charging up like on the ground, like his like freaking almost like the rockets out of the back of his knees.
I know, I noticed that. That was a neat detail.
And going into it, I thought it was cool too that like literally he physically like pushed it away. It wasn't like he exploded it, you know.
Yeah.
There's also like a detail where like when he hit the ground, of was it him that caused a shockwave, or was it like the first part of the explosion finally reaching them? I don't know. I thought it was very, very, very smooth.
Yeah, the animation has been pretty solid these last few episodes, and they've had a lot going on. The vice captain fight stuff was really fun. Are the characters all growing on me really nicely? And then episode
cast across the board, actually. I was actually kind of surprised that like they all kind of they tick a good box, you know.
I agree. It's become like a legit ensemble show.
Mm-hmm.
Kafka is taken into custody in episode 11.
Mm.
And then it really just becomes like most of the episode is about like Mina and Ko kind of reveal that like they want to help him out, help him build a case to protect him. But then after that, it's like Shinomiya's dad is the director general. He has Kafka in prison tested, which is like, there's some comic relief there. And then, yeah, like you said, it really just turns it up to 11 with action towards the end of that episode. And then it seems like kind of Eren style, like he loses control in his kaiju form.
Yeah. We have that, like the kaiju that kind of like possessed him shows up,
which we haven't seen since the pilot.
No, I know. Which I was wondering, like, what that. I was wondering if maybe that thing turned into the core, or like if it is still kind of, because they make a reference of something hiding the shape of a heart.
Yeah,
but I guess that was the core they were referencing. But
I'm interested. Like, I wondered like how long will it take the show? Because you know shows like this, like sometimes they care about the origin, sometimes they don't.
Mm-hmm.
And I was curious, like, are they ever gonna explain like what that thing was and why it fucking jumped inside him? Like, was it sent? Was it sentient? Like, did it have purpose? Is it a coincidence? You know what I mean? Like,
I think it said found you
when it jumped in his face.
It almost like a reference, like it was the previous, because they were running away from that kaiju, right?
Yeah.
And almost like it was a part of that.
Oh, right. Okay, that makes sense.
I was thinking too, like maybe it goes into other kaiju. That's how they get the big ones.
Yeah.
you know, a similar way, like, it went into him and it turned him into something. But, no, I think now, like, he's clearly going to be, like, or maybe not, I don't know. I think now, like, at the point, like, where we're at with the show, like, he's clearly going to be, or not, like, maybe he will be cleared. But I think, like, once he's, like, brought back in as, like, an ally again, everyone, like, you know, tentatively trusts him kind of thing. I think that's when they're going to be able to, like, start dissecting, like, where it came from and, like, what this thing is. And so
maybe that's season two.
Yeah, well, this is, I guarantee you this is, like, an immediate season two announcement.
It better be.
Yeah. I would be 12, shocked. Right? Yeah, I would be shocked if they don't off the top.
Yo, speaking of subsequent seasons, you know what I forgot to mention earlier? What's that? They renewed House of the Dragon for season three a day before the premiere of season two.
Yeah, boy.
Metal. But yeah, okay, so we'll see how that goes. I'm interested. I'm assuming it goes, like, kind of a, like you said, like almost an Aaron direction, where it's like he's on the team but, like, under guard, you know what I mean?
Assigned to the captain, like, you know, one of the strongest people. His relationship, that's his way of, like, being back at her side. Yeah, I can see them playing around with the tropes a little bit.
Okay, My Hero Academia, are you caught up?
Yeah, I am caught up. Fuck, dude, I watched 4 episodes last night to catch up.
4 episodes. Okay, so
those you're coming off... really blended. Really blended.
You're coming in fresh then. What are you thinking? How are you feeling about this current arc, state of affairs, etc.?
I think it's pretty great. There was one, I think it's not the most recent episode, but I guess it would be last week's.
Season 7, episode 5.
Yes, so it, like, the reveal of, like, the fake out. Episode kind of just, like, starts where, you know, Naval Laser is just there, you know, and it's like Deku is there, and there's the whole, like, kind of, like, you know, it seems like he's betraying him, and then, like, just, like, the fight kind of starts, and I was like, whoa, like, are we not gonna, like, tee this up? And they've been doing this, like, very, I think, very My Hero of them to do, is, like, yeah, we'll explain that in bit pieces over the next 4 episodes.
Yeah.
You know, and I was just, like, I rolled my eyes every time. I was like, all right, I'm going on my phone for a few minutes.
You know? There's some breaking news on that. Yesterday, mangaka came out and said there's 5 chapters left.
August 5th is the finale.
So there you go. That I think we put out a reel or a TikTok on this recently at Part-Time Otaku Podcast, where you can find us on the socials. But we were talking about, and we talked about it, I think, on our last podcast episode, about, like, how close to the end are we? Like, is the manga even going to end ever? You never know with the translation, but I did read his note, and he mentioned how many chapters were left, and he said, like, you know, thanks for reading, it's because of you, it went on so long. And then I think he said something like, you know, it got messy at parts, but I'm glad we did it, or something like that. And then there's also rumors now, and these are rumors, so, like, now we're very bleeding edge, but there's also rumors that post-announcement, or post-ending, there'll be a sequel series announced.
Yeah, count on it, dude.
So,
I did read that, like, it is kind of done, and, like, what these, like, last 5 chapters are...
Epilogue. Is
epilogue. It's all wrap-up. I still think they fumbled the bag on, like, their, like, half, you know, 1 foot in, 1 foot out of, like, Deku and Uraraka. Like, I think that's just, like, they're trying way too late in the game to, like, link them up and, like, you know, crushes and all that. But, I don't know. Dude, we've said it before. Like, you know, and I'll continue to say it until it starts, like, you know, being shitty again. But, like, when this show is, like, dialed in and, like, fucking, you know, party rocking there, like, the show rules.
Like, yeah, I agree. It's fun as hell when it's rocking. Yeah. Like, do you think, spoiler alert, but we're talking about season 7 anyway, episodes 5 and 6. But do you think Toya / Dobby is dead?
Oof. No.
Yeah, it's hard, you know.
No, they're gonna try and do Sad Dad Endeavor having some attempted redemption, I think.
I'd be really irritated by that, but you're probably right.
They're going to do. I think, count on it. I think they're going to do it.
Yeah, because what I was going to say is, like, if that is, like, the vanquishing of, like, a villain who you, like, tried to make, like, more dimensional and, like, humanize a little bit with the backstory and the twist about his origin and all that stuff, like, all that's fine. But, like, I do think, like, that death would be a good death. Like, it would be a good wrap-up to his story. Also, simultaneously, like, a huge moment for Shoto. I thought that fight was relatively decent, by the way. But I did think, like, it was, like, on visually, like, a little busy.
And I was going to say.
And they talked about the fight more than they actually fought. Which is, like, another anime pet peeve. Also,
Shoto's... half-glass full. It did nothing for me.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the fight itself. Like, I think more of the backstory stuff I was more invested in. And kind of just, like, him, like, the whole piece of, like, him somehow, like, sneaking into, like, one of the number two heroes, like, home. Like, as if there's no security systems for him to, like, just walk into that house. Just yeah. saying. But I don't know. I just, I've never found, with the exception of Colonel Mustang, I find fire abilities very rarely, like, look cool, personally. I think it's too busy. Like you said, too busy. It's just one of thing. Oh. And same goes for the ice. Like, I do like Todoroki, Shoto. But I don't think, like, I feel like we're supposed to have some, like, resolution after this, like, Dobby defeat. And, like, I feel nothing. It's like, this really isn't your story, dude. Like, it's between Dobby and Endeavor. And, like, I know they kind of, like, shoehorn their way in of, like, he's my brother, you know, I'm trying to, you know, we are trying to fix the family. But, like, it did not work for me at all.
Yeah.
And the fight was just kind of, I think him going, like, melted down and, like, making him, like, kind of evil incarnate looking was, like, a nice touch. But
it was okay. I thought it looked cheap at times. That was a problem.
Like, in some instances, yeah.
I thought it was just too, I don't know, I just think they tried to do too much with it. And it was too drawn out. I don't know. I thought the ending shot and sequence of him, like, his limp body, like, falling on Shoto was kind of cool.
Sure.
But otherwise, I don't know. I'm curious to see how everything goes with Tomura, right? Like, that's what I'm interested in.
That was sick. Like, that was felt very inventive. And bringing back, I really like how they brought back, like, that Phantom Thief kid. Who's just, like, who goes full villain mode for some reason.
That was funny.
He's, like, using the power. It worked for me. I was, like, he was, I think you and I, like, he was super annoying in the class battles, but, like, we kind of loved the gag that he was kind of presenting.
Yeah.
Like, this, you know, like, I am, you know, the absolute. I thought that was a really cool fake out, because they did a fun fake out at the end of the previous episode of, like, oh, is the Kurogiri, is he back, their buddy? Like,
oh, yes.
And it was just, and I was like, oh, no, duh, it's Phantom Thief.
And hey, and, like, yeah, that, we've talked about this over the years about, like, they're really good at, like, bringing in and introducing random characters. And, like, sometimes, like, you never see them again and it never matters, which is irritating and a bit of a waste. But in instances like this where they're like, oh, look, I could pull a character out of my ass because I introduced you to him in an episode 4 years ago. And now he's part of this pivotal moment. And it's like, okay, that's kind of cool. Like, you did the whole planting the seed thing. Like, I appreciate that. So I don't know.
I thought that fight was just really well done, and, like, kind of, like, Mirko and friggin' Bakugo kind of, you know, button heads. I was like, oh, of course you guys would be, like, try to be the, you know, the aggressors in the scenario. But
I think,
no, it was good. I really liked it.
This weekend is Hawks and Endeavor versus All For One, according to the preview. Sorry to spoil that. But, like, you know, that'll be fun. Like, there's a lot going on right now. It feels like we're in the end game. So I don't know. We'll see how it goes.
This feels like 9 more episodes of this, like, which I'm not complaining about. This is going to be a long haul. I'm not trying to get too far ahead of myself. I'm just trying to enjoy it week to week. But I will say, like, you know, you and I have been doing, you know, the podcast every 2 weeks there a little bit. It is kind of nice. My hero can be, you know, we've talked about it before, like, it's kind of like the trap of, like, you can get stuck with, like, just a really bad episode and you're like, oh my god, like, you know,
watching that in the silo and, like, trying to talk about it is like, fuck.
But, like, doubling up, I think, is a little better. Because, like, especially now, because it is so action-heavy, and, like, you know, they're kind of lore bombs that kind of trickling through. Like, they kind of just hit us with, you know, one of the final parts of One For All. The meta powers and how it's kind of evolved into something. Yeah. And it's, like, a last resort, and it's locked away in a cage and or behind a steel door. And I was like, okay, they're still cooking. They're doing, you know, I laughed out loud. It was funny because you were talking about, you know, like, how they'll just randomly bring a character in or introduce a character. Like, when in the Dobby fight, it was Shoto and then 3 of Endeavor's, like, top 3 members of his company or whatever. And it was, like, the fire-haired girl and the one dude that we had met before. And then there was just, like, a random third guy. And they're like, oh, dude, are you going to be safe in this fire? And then, like, we have, like, a quick 20-second breakdown of his quirk. And why he's fine and, like, can move the air. And I just, like, laughed out loud. And I was like, they're just going to throw that in and we're never going to hear from this dude again.
100%.
Like, I 100%. Love that.
That's, like, that's what the show does.
Yeah.
We'll see how it goes. But it is fun to watch.
Yeah.
Okay. Moshuko Tensei.
Oh, my God.
Are you caught up?
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So this is a big one. It's not like the big one, but like I have been excited to talk to you about this because we've had a lot to say about Shoku season 2 in general. It has been a little slow. We've heard like, you know, like everybody we've seen on the internet, oh, it's gonna be worth it. Just you wait. You know what I mean? All this shit. And like, God, where do we even start? We're talking about episodes 22 and 23 of season 2. Spoiler alert, like these are like the most eventful episodes of the season. And should I just go ahead and say what happens?
Yeah, get to it.
So the whole point of this most recent arc is Rudeus leaves his new budding family to help his father rescue his mother in a labyrinth. First, they have to rescue Roxy, which they do. And there's some clear chemistry between Rudy and her after that happens. And then the next goal then becomes saving their mother, who is, you know, frozen in ice.
Crystal.
That was and sick. Crystal. That was
a really cool shot.
Behind a Hydra dragon monster thing. There is a name for it. I'm just...
Manolite Hydra.
Thanks, bud. So they do that.
I'm pocketing that one for a future D&D game, just for reference.
Attaboy.
yeah,
good call, actually.
That was pretty sick.
They successfully slay the Hydra and rescue Rudeus's mother. Paul dies.
Paul super dies. Can we just say that for the record? Paul, like, super dies?
Super dies.
Yeah. Talk about like lingering camera on a corpse. 10 out of 10. Like,
I agree with that.
Really, you know, really sent it home.
You know what popped into my head when you said that? You know the kid who betrays Jon Snow and then he hangs them all when he wakes up?
Oh, yeah.
I think it was Tommy or something like that. And he has to hang all the people who betrayed him. And then they linger on the kid's dead face. Mm. But yeah, so they save Paul, like, kind of shoves Rudy out of the way last second. Then, yeah, you get that long death stare. And then is... Okay, let's digest that before we go forward.
Sure. Great fight. Animation. Like,
good fight. This is
typical, you know, of Mushoku Tensei where... You know, the major fights get a ton of attention. Paul got, I think, especially the most attention, which, you know, I think we all knew deep down Paul was going to die. At least I did.
I didn't know he was going to die then and there.
Yeah, maybe not there. I do think, like, the culmination of the labyrinth, I think he was going to die. I think,
right.
You know, the whole thing, like, where, you know, one parent... trying so hard to rescue the other, like, he's had such a long, like, genuinely struggling journey. It's been 10 years, you know, like, it makes sense that, like, you know, they finally save her and of course he dies.
Yeah.
You know, him and Rudy has kind of cleared the air to a certain extent. The really interesting fight, arguing before the fight,
I was gonna say, the argument,
very interesting argument, and that's, it kind of felt like it was so tough. And I don't know, I felt like, you know, Paul was probably not for this world. And, you know, like, the advice he was giving Rudeus, like, in the episode prior to this, and it's like, oh my god, like, it was like, dude, so typical of you. And of course that comes to fruition, you know, which again we'll maybe get to that later, but I don't know, it just I really liked the love that he got in the fight scene, especially, like,
yeah, man, Paul is killer. The animation was fantastic in that final fight. I will say, like, this show takes a lot of swings at a lot of things that miss for me. The Paul death was good. Like, yep. I was like, oh no. You know what I mean? And they do, like, Rudeus loses an arm in the fight. And when they wake up his mother, she appears to be in a vegetative
state.
Like, I don't want to say all for naught, but the person that they
say... It does kind of feel all for naught.
Sometimes. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's kind of TBD if she can recover right now, but it's not looking good. That was a very down episode, episode 22. You finish that, you're like, holy shit, this is what people have been talking about. So credit where it's due.
The silent walk, I thought that was the best shot of the episode, of like Zenith on the dwarf shoulders, and they're all kind of like, it's just like no audio, no score. It's just them walking down. I think there's literally a torch flickering. I think that's the one thing that's included, maybe some footsteps, but it's just them kind of like walking out of the dark cavern, like, you know, out the way they came. And I was like, wow.
Even in the following episode, 23, their return home, like, or their journey home that they begin, it's very far away from like the hero's return home. You know what I mean? Like, after, like, if you were to compare it to, like, you know, Frieren and Himmel and everyone returning after defeating the Demon King, you know, it's like, ah, we did it. We slayed the dragon. We have each other. You know what I mean? It's like, it's the complete opposite in this case. It's like, yeah, they slayed the dragon, but he lost his father. His mother's like brain dead. He lost an arm. He has cheated on his wife. You know what I mean? Like, it's a fucking mess.
Yeah, very messy.
So they got that right. It is.
He warned them, saying, if you go, you're gonna regret it.
That was also, I appreciated that. I don't want to spend a ton of time on the romance.
Sense. Yeah.
I actually think it kind of worked. I actually know a lot of the light novel readers are fucking pissed about it.
Really?
Yes. There's apparently some changes.
Okay.
They're not major, in my mind. You know, people on Reddit seem to disagree. But I think the point, the major difference, allegedly, is that it's supposed to be longer. There's almost supposed to be a few week time skip of Rudeus being hopelessly depressed and down, and Roxy trying several times, and eventually he just kind of like gives in, and it's like a, you know, coping mechanism to the grief, which is like has been seen in a lot of shows and movies, sure. And is like perhaps a real thing. But yeah, so they're upset that it like they didn't show that a little bit more, I guess. But I think at the end of the day, it's the same, right? It's like he ends up warming up to Roxy, and now the idea being when he returns home, he's going to like try and kind of do the Paul 2.0 thing.
Ugh.
Which is just an interesting but peculiar choice. But I think, you know, effectively all of their stories on romance are kind of peculiar.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it is what it is. It's just, it feels very, not yada yada, what's the word? It feels like they're justifying it at multiple points as it's happening. It just feels like trying to, like, maybe a little apologist and trying to, like, convincing themselves that, like, what they're doing is right. Yeah. You know, which I think is the weird part. Like, if, it would almost, like, the weirdest thing to me is, like, Elena's, grandmother-in-law,
yeah,
or whatever, you know, just kind of like, well, like, you know, like, it is what it is, but like, she has this whole thing where, like, she, you know, it's, you know, could argue it's silly, but she's cursed and, like, you know, because, like, prevented her from, you know, leaving, like, you know, what she wanted of, you know, monogamy or whatever. And it just feels weird to be like, yeah, like, just kind of like, do what you want, like, you're good or whatever. And it was like, why? I don't know, I feel like it would be more convincing if there was some resentment there.
Yeah.
You know, but I guess that's, at the end of the day, that's not what the source material is. That's not the story the, you know, the manga is trying to tell, but yeah. I don't know. It felt very weird.
Curious to see where it goes. I don't know, like,
I know exactly where it's just going to be okay.
Yeah, it's going to be okay. Rudy will end up with 5 kids, you know, from different women, and I don't know what they want from me.
Because Aerys still floating around.
Three kids apiece or something? Is that the happy ending?
No one can look me, like, a fan of the series, can, like, look me in the eye and not say they're going to not try and make that happen again.
Yeah. And,
yeah.
Yeah, it's just weird that, like, the show might genuinely be heading to a place where the happy ending is Rudeus just has 3 wives. I don't know. Like,
one hand, 3 wives. There you go. You're good to go.
Okay. I have to ask, have you seen and are you caught up with The Boys?
I've seen the premiere. I did not have a chance to watch the remaining 3. It's crazy to think the next time we talk, 6 episodes will have been out.
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
That's why you gotta
show up with your homework done.
Yeah, dude. Bro. I watched 9 episodes of anime last night in preparation for tonight.
All right.
But, yeah. So, no, I don't know. I did like the premiere. Like, I know we were briefly talking this weekend about, you know, there seems to be some, you know, random hate. It's so funny because,
well, it's
like,
not random. It's interesting.
Or sorry, not random hate, but the thing. Sorry, there's 2 things I'm seeing. So there's like you're talking about the stuff with Frenchie, but
yes,
the narrative of, like, again, I'm not trying to, you know, point fingers or, like, you know, like, say one side is bad or one side is good, but like this whole like our dialogue of the conservatives are now just figuring out that like, you know, right. they're being mocked. It feels like people are trying to like start off if that's like a fresh idea. That was like a huge theme from like the third season.
Yes.
Like that was like all the talk about, and it just feels like everything's been like wiped clean and like the narrative is kind of like starting fresh over. And it's very strange because like in the media, people are talking about it. Like, you know, various like news outlets are talking about it. And it's like, you guys like wrote this like 2 years ago. Like, I don't know. It feels very strange to me.
So, okay. So
bait clicky. It's what it feels like to me. They're just trying to get clicks, which we all know they're doing.
It's in a very interesting spot. I'm not gonna give you any more. I'm not gonna dump on you any further about this other than when I'm done this sentence. If you had caught up, you would know a little more. I'm just saying. But
all right.
For the listener,
yeah,
for the listener, I did this week. I put out, or I will be putting out by the time you listen to this. It'll probably be out. I filmed a TikTok and a reel on this today for the respective Instagram and TikTok platforms. It's bullshit that fucking Instagram has a 90-second limit. It's like, how can anybody... Anyway, but I'm caught up, and I will say this. I think it's interesting that there's two anecdotes which kind of go backwards and forwards here, right? One is viewership over season three is up 21%, which is massive. And at the same time, the show has a 52% audience rating on Rotten Tomatoes, which is the lowest in the show's history. So I think it's like one of those things where it's like two things are true at the same time. Like, I think what, like, to one point, what you said, like, there's basically two schools of thought. It's like people are only just figuring it out now that the show is political. And if you're in that boat, you're probably silly. And on the second, on like the more intense side, is like some people feel like, oh, well, now it's more political than ever. And it's like, you know, maybe encouraging the divide.
Mm.
I don't know. My take that I filmed on this reel is like, even in season one, it is absolutely clear that the show is like doing a lot of things, right? It's a very dark satire that's like, was absolutely, especially when the show came out, you remember, like, absolutely poking at, you know, the MCU, how big the superhero industry was, and like, what does an
corporate
adult,
America.
Yeah. What does an adult hard R rating look like when you put a show in that environment? And it also like definitely held up a bit of a mirror and had like some political commentary and some nuanced takes on some interesting ideas that like made it kind of fun to watch. I think the difference now is in these last couple of seasons is that like the political commentary is that it's like at the forefront of the show. The current plot, like the driving force behind season four currently as of episode four, is like more or less like the culture war,
sure,
like period, you know what I mean? It's like that's kind of just the world they're operating in right now. So it, in my mind, it absolutely is more political than it used to be. It's just leaning more into something it did in the past that might in previous seasons it might have happened in the background.
Sure.
Now it's like front center, but that also,
like, yeah, season three also is like pretty big part of it.
I agree. I think it's like it's almost like seasons one and two versus three and four, but that also syncs up with Homelander kind of taking control of everything, right?
Sure. Yeah.
And there's
he is so fucking good, dude.
It gets better. The last episode they just did, episode four, is absolutely remarkable. And it just came out. I'm bummed you haven't seen this yet. It just came out that he has this great arc in episode four. And the actor himself rewrote the fucking scene, saying, I really don't think we should do it this way. We should do it that way. And the showrunner just came out about like, oh, yeah, all of that was Anthony Starr's idea.
Wow.
I was going to do it this other way. And he was completely right. And it's like, holy shit.
Damn.
Very impressive. He is definitely the best one on the show right now. I will admit, like, some characters, I'm not going to say who, like, I find their subplots to be a little disposable. I'm curious about what you think when you catch up.
Yeah, like, it feels... I don't know. Like, I feel like a big part of season three was kind of the boys themselves kind of falling apart. Like, just the cohesion wasn't there.
Yeah.
You know, there's, like, a lot of, you know, varying... It was, like, Huey and Butch on one... Or, you know, yeah, Butcher on one side and... you know, MM and Frenchie kind of, and you know, Mariko kind of like on the other side. I don't know. It just, like, it doesn't, you know, it's just one of those things where, like, you remember the times where everyone was, like, was buddy-buddy, and they were, like, getting to know each other, and, like, the, you know, the hijinks that, you know, or the conversations that ensued felt so, like,
yeah,
you know, it was so enjoyable and, like, kind of, maybe not refreshing, but just, you know, like, it was a good ride to be along.
Yeah.
And now, just, even within the first episode, like, the banter between everyone back and forth, I'm like, holy cow, like, none of you people like each other.
Yeah.
And it's, like, I'm not sure if it's, like, an actor thing or if it's, like, a character-written thing. You know, I don't know. Just,
you're right about that. Characters are certainly more siloed. They're all kind of being given their own plots. Some of them work, some of them don't. It's, yeah, it's a bit tricky. They're trying to do a lot, I'll say that, in a both positive and negative way.
Also, like, I'm, you know, we were talking about this too. I am not trying to judge, but Starlight is so distracting to look at.
Yeah, I mean,
it is crazy.
Grant crazy. Is referencing her, yeah, facial transformation, which, yeah, has significantly changed even more than that on just her press tour for the current, yeah, season. She looks markedly different than even season 3. It's yeah, I don't know.
It's hard. Like,
it is very distracting. She looks, yeah, drastically different.
Yeah.
It's very significant.
Yeah.
Yeah, and also I think MM
lost a ton of weight.
He either has that Ozempic face, or I think he shaved his beard as well and made a big difference.
He looks pretty gaunt. Like,
yeah, there's something going on there.
Yeah.
Who knows?
But, like, what, you know, whatever. It is what it is. But, like, I thought, oh, shit, like, is he sick?
Yeah.
You know? But,
yeah. Yeah, it could also just, because I think the facial hair changed, too. And that's, like, a big thing, too, right? When you know a guy with only a beard, and then he goes, sure, clean-shaven.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything else you want to touch on before we jump into some quick news?
No. Yeah, no, let's hit news.
God, what a packed episode, eh?
Yeah.
Okay, so we already talked about House of the Dragon being renewed ahead of its premiere. Gangster move. I wanted to ask you about this, but I'm afraid that we might get sucked into it. What is going on with Star Wars Acolyte?
Oh, I have no clue.
You're unplugged.
Yeah, hit me with it.
No, I don't know. All I know is that it seems to be the center of a great amount of controversy, actually similar to The Boys, in that, like, people are like, you're making the show political and you're ruining it and you're bastardizing everything about the Star Wars lore. And it has this awful rating. And then other people are like, no, it's great. It's a fresh new take and a whole new universe. And I was like, I need Grant to tell me his thoughts.
I'm very much on the outside on this one. I did know there was a bit of a split. I'm not sure what. But, you know, I've heard people say, like, it's okay. And, you know, like, it feels like the only positive things are hearing is, like, the Squid Game guy.
Yeah, I hear he's great.
Like, again, apparently he's, like, learned English for the role,
yeah.
You know, there's less, like, a lot of, you know, the pros I'm hearing about it, but I don't know. I don't know, like, what about... I never finished, you know, Ahsoka, like...
Oh, really?
And that was, you know, mad Grant bait, and, like, just couldn't do
it. Fell off,
like,
huh?
Yeah, I'm like, I'm good.
Interesting. Like, I still haven't watched Andor. I heard... Are they doing this season 2?
Yep, should be soon. I think probably. I bet you we get an announcement for it at D23 this year, this summer.
Okay, maybe I'll tune in. Maybe I'll try Andor because, like, you know, Ahsoka, I've heard mixed things, and this as well. So, you know, I kind of mixed bag on Obi-Wan as well, but everybody seems to like Andor.
Andor's the shit, dude.
All right.
Yeah.
And then actually, we've already covered some of this news here, like Demon Slayer movie rumors and My Hero Academia manga. Last thing I've got on my list is. Benedict Cumberbatch has confirmed that Avengers 5 begins filming next year.
Oh.
Yeah, I know. So I don't know if they've already got 4 in the can, or...
So what, that's... Well, no, there's already been 4, no?
What do we have? Oh, no, there are 4, right. Infinity War and then Endgame, yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, I guess... Yeah, I don't know.
But maybe they're going away from the approach of everyone gets their movie before the big... In the big Avengers movie, maybe just jumping right into that to kind of get some buyback.
I don't know. Do you remember which one was supposed to be Kang?
Was that 5? Yeah, Kang Dynasty is supposed to be the next one.
So we don't even know what they're doing.
No.
Okay. Well, you know, being backed into a corner and having to write yourself out of it, oftentimes, I mean, it can go very badly, and then oftentimes you can get some of the most creative, like, fun story threads. So I'm curious to see where they go. You know, my intention is to watch Deadpool, and I have no other MCU things in my calendar.
Is that
coming up?
Is that this summer, or is it in the fall?
I think it's this summer. I want to say July or August. I could be wrong.
Actually, really looking forward to that.
Yeah, we should see it together and review it.
I would like to.
Tight. All right, buddy. That's all I got.
Yeah, good pod.
Excellent. Thank you guys so much for listening. Like I mentioned earlier, find us on social media, Part-Time Otaku Podcast. Subscribe to the podcast. Get notified of new episodes every couple of weeks. We're on Spotify, Apple Music, YouTube, etc. We might even be on Facebook. I don't know. but take a look around, subscribe, do all of the relevant social media things and all of the relevant social media platforms. And Grant, go ahead and say the thing.
Bye, guys.
Cheers.